Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CracksSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CracksSidewalks.com. Had the weekend off, but still plenty of Marquette to talk about. Phil, what did you do with your weekend without Marquette basketball?
Well, I went to a seven-year-old basketball league where my son got benched for screaming at a teammate to play defense harder, so... You know, Shaka, come get your boy. But that's how I spent my weekend, getting over not having Marquette to play.
Where did the little man learn that?
I don't know. Is his the wife character? Clearly.
Oh, that's fantastic. So he's six now or seven?
He's six, but he's in a league with he's in kindergarten. He's in a league with kindergartners and first graders.
So 6 years old, 6 years old, already screaming at teammates to play some freaking defense.
Yes, and he slaps the and almost every other possession slaps the court when he's on defense.
That is just terrific. Good parenting.
Great job. I think so. Again, the wife character less than pleased, but you know, I literally leaned over when he was screaming in the player's face and said, "Let's see where this goes."
Yeah. Well, you're a great influence.
Yeah.
A better influence than I am on my niece and nephew. My niece, not too long ago, I guess this was her impression of me. So she like grabbed my sunglasses and put on my sunglasses and started laughing. And then she goes, "Oh yeah, beer." I'm like, "Excuse me?" And so like that became like her phrase for like a week. "Oh yeah, beer." Her mother, my sister-in-law, is like, "Where did she learn that?" Like, I don't say, "Oh yeah, beer," but she put on my sunglasses, and that was her impression of me. And that's like, I think I've gotten that phrase out of her vocabulary, but that's apparently my four-year-old niece's impression of me, is to put on sunglasses and say, "Oh yeah, beer."
All right. Noted. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says, "Oh yeah, beer."
Yeah. So that's the influence I have on young children. But we're here to talk basketball.
And not 6-year-old basketball.
Yeah. But hey, your Marquette Golden Eagles are legit. And I feel like we've been kind of harping on that for weeks now. We're going to go into it a little more, talk about the Villanova sweep. But also, I think, I don't know about you, Phil, I'm kind of ready for the tournament to start now.
Yes.
I want March Madness to like begin this week before, you know, this team cools off. I kind of want to talk about the tournament a little bit later in today's show.
Yeah, for sure. I want the tournament to start now before one of these Big East coaches who decide to foul a whole bunch when the game's out of reach and potentially getting someone hurt, you know, put a dent into this team. I just wrap them in bubble wrap and let's get to March.
Yeah, let's we play one of those guys twice.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, let's just touch on the week that was, and the week that was a short one, but a big one. But with Marquette completing a season sweep of Villanova, first time that's happened in the new Big East, and I wouldn't say a convincing win, but just a win, another win where Marquette was just impressive start to finish. Phil, I wouldn't say the win was never in doubt because Villanova was fighting back all game, but Marquette certainly looked like Villanova's equal in that game, which was just weird to process for me.
Yeah, well, I think the thing to take away, and I saw some tweets from some well-known NCAA basketball analyst types, you know, saying, "Yeah, and you know, Villanova laid an egg or whatever." And like, I think that's the thing that we need to start taking away from some of these games is, you know, Villanova played well in that game, right? Like Marquette had good defense, no doubt, but like Villanova was not beating themselves. It's not like they were fumbling the ball away or weren't taking shots that they wanted to take. You know, Marquette played great defense and almost as good offense and was just better than Villanova for, you know, 36 out of the 40 minutes of that game. Like, Marquette is playing better than other teams. It is not teams like shooting themselves in the foot and Marquette taking advantage. And I think, you know, sustainable was the word of the podcast last week. I think it carries over. This Villanova win was a very sustainable win. They were Marquette earned the win more so than Villanova gave Marquette the win.
I would agree with that. It was a legitimate win. It was not a lucky win. It was not a fluky win. They've beat Villanova twice now, once in their place and once now in Milwaukee. And I think it was just a case of a ranked team going on the road against another ranked team and getting beat. We've been on the other side of that a couple times this year. And sometimes you just go on the road and get beat by a team that's comfortable playing in their own gym. You were there, correct?
Yes, I was. Correct.
Good atmosphere.
Absolutely. It was the best atmosphere I've been in since. I don't know. I'd almost say. I mean, they're not comparable, but I'd almost say when Marquette beat number one Villanova in whatever it was 2019, 2018, whatever it was, like that atmosphere was clearly better. We didn't have any pandemic. This was like the closest I felt back to that. All season, the crowd, maybe it wasn't at full capacity, but the crowd was very much into it. Ton of energy. The We Are Marquette chants came back, like those had been kind of missing. The students were up to their usual shenanigans, chanting FU Nova at them several times, and I was here for it. It was all, you know, considering it was a 9 o'clock start, it was high energy crowd, and it was great to see them back. I think we're starting to see the rest of the population start to believe now about Marquette.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too. I interact with people on Twitter during mini games because I'm almost always watching from my house, and I'm just noticing a lot more people that I usually don't see on Twitter interacting about Marquette basketball. You know, because over the past few years, it's been kind of the usual suspects, which is fine. Just, you know, a handful of people who I follow and who I'm familiar with who follow Marquette. But I've seen, like, a lot of new names and new user handles yes. on Twitter. And so I just think that's kind of that's kind of a micro, I guess, look at it, but just my personal Twitter world. But I just feel like there are more people interested in Marquette basketball than there has been in quite a few years, and I think more people are getting on Twitter and social media and talking about the team and following tweets about the team and learning about them and interacting with other fans. And I think that's good to see. It's good to see the little hashtag MUBB community growing a little bit and more people excited about the team, and I hope that translates to, you know, just in the greater Milwaukee area, more fans being excited about the team, maybe local media being more excited about the team, even though I know they have plenty to do in that area with the Bucks and the Badgers, and if Major League Baseball ever figures their stuff out, Brewer spring training.
But, well, we're in day 637 of Aaron Rodgers' watch, so.
Right. Oh, yes, there's that. But yeah, I think it's cool to see there's a palpable excitement about the team that really warms my heart to see, because I think there are people who just stopped caring and came back, and then there are people who maybe just haven't been fans and decide, you know what, I'm going to follow this team, and I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, and like, again, not only is the team winning, but they're winning in an exciting fashion. And I was thinking about while we were talking, I'd like just to talk about the game a little bit. I'm going to pop a quiz on you. I thought of like kind of three exciting moments from the game, and I want you to tell me which of the like events or moments from the game was your most favorite. And I don't, now it's a little unfair because I don't know how much you saw on the TV versus me in person, but bear with me. So the three moments that just absolutely had me rolling in excitement, and I don't know which one is my favorite, that's why we're doing this, is Tyler Kolek jawing back and forth with Shaka Smart. Absolutely, like just every trip back and forth, they were yelling at each other in the first half. And it was you could tell it was like heated, but not in a bad way. And they've even talked about it since.
Had they said what that was about? Did Shaka challenge him that week and he responded, or what was that
yeah,
about?
Yeah, so Shaka said on the Marquette Radio Hour that basically he was telling Tyler Kolek to shoot more, like to get more involved in the offense, and Kolek went back at him like, I got this, stop telling me what to do. And like he said they just got heated, and Shaka even said, he's like, really, you know, that's just me being too aggressive. Like, he's like, I really should have stepped back. But he said it was a creative. He said they use choice words with each other, and it's only made them closer as, like, you know, compatriots or whatever, right? Like, but he's like, yeah, I maybe overcoached a little bit there, and he called me on it. But yeah, he was, you know, he and Tyler were like yelling at each other for four or five possessions, and it was kind of fascinating to watch, and hearing the explanation afterwards, I was like, damn, that was awesome. Cause he got fired. Tyler got fired up and hit a couple of shots around that time. It was like, kind of like a, see, I told you I got this.
Mm. Okay. But, cool.
So there
okay,
was
so
that one.
Okay.
The second one is, and I'm plagiarizing my own tweet about it, but the couple of possessions where Daryl Morcel just goes, you know what? I effing got this. And just four buckets in a row, and a defensive stop, and just, you know, Nova had gotten within three, and Daryl single-handedly goes, you know what? Let's move it out to 11. And then I don't think Marquette really ever, you know, looked back after that. So that's moment two. The third was, and we've seen the clip of it, you know, on the defensive end when Justin Lewis blocks, I don't remember who it was, but right before it, Kirk Quoth gets thrown across the baseline, looks like he got hit by a sniper. And then on the run out after the block, Justin ends up on the wing, nails a three. The arena went absolutely ballistic when right. Justin took that three and hit it, which was one of those no, yes threes. But those
and it was Morcel that got the block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. It was Morcel that got the block. Correct.
Right. Okay. But I know. I think everyone who watched the game knows exactly the play you're talking about.
Yes.
But yes. So those were.
So those are the three moments. Which one is your favorite moment from that game?
I think I have to go with the Morcel block and Lewis on the other end, just because I think that's a pretty cool microcosm of why Marquette has been so good lately, is doing it with defense and letting that spark the offense, and with Daryl Morcel leading the defense and Justin Lewis leading the offense. I think it's just kind of a cool microcosm of why they've been successful lately. And more goes into it big picture as far as everybody contributing. But I just thought that was just a awesome kind of both a momentum play and also just a part of the game when it just felt like, look, we're better. Marquette is better than Villanova, and we're winning this game today. So I loved that moment, and I would put Morcel taking over as my second favorite, just because I love that from a senior, or a super senior in this case, just put the team on his back and just making some really tough buckets, and just with confidence, too. And it's good to know that he has that in his bag if and when Marquette gets in a tough spot in March, that maybe he can pull that out again and just be the guy when times are tough, when the team is slumping, he can, as you say, I effing got this. So that was both awesome and encouraging going forward, because there are tougher games to come as we look about 6 weeks down the road. And the Kolek thing was cool, but I would rank that with third.
Yeah. I think my favorite is the Daryl Morcel, just, I got this. Like, it just, especially because to that point, I think he had maybe a bucket and hadn't been playing particularly well. And then you could just kind of see he went, all right, it's a great feeling to know that, and Daryl's not the only one that could have done that, right? Like, Justin Lewis could have gone, hey guys, get on my back, we're going, right? Or Tyler Kolek could just say, look, I'm going to start distributing and y'all are going to make a bunch of buckets, right? So I think that was kind of the neat thing for me, is that we do have the ability, while it has been very much this run, and especially that Villanova game was a team game. It is nice to know that we have players that can absolutely go, you know, hey, clear out, I got this. And I have to say, I'm not impartial, because I absolutely love Daryl Morcel's bully ball game. Like, I just it tickles me in all the right places. That's all I can say.
Well, all right then. Good information there. But I agree. It was like to see a guy who has never really before this year been known as an offensive player at all, to show that kind of confidence in that moment was awesome. and he has truly blossomed in the way he wanted to when he chose Marquette. You know, if he wanted to be play the same role again, he could have stayed at Maryland, or he probably could have gone to a program that was maybe projected to go to the Final Four or Elite Eight earlier in, you know, before the season, and served a similar role if all he wanted to do was go deep in the tournament and go to a Final Four. He could have just been a role player on a team like, I don't know, Duke or Kentucky or Baylor or Kansas or something like that. But he wanted to go to Marquette, and he wanted to have that, show what he could do offensively, and he's doing it. So I'm happy for him, and big moment for him on Wednesday to lead Marquette to that win over Villanova. So sitting pretty good here, Phil. You know, this 7-game gauntlet, they are 5-1 in it with one game to go.
And, yeah, like, could we believe this? Like, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I think the moment that really struck me was when, like, towards the end of that game, when I was complaining about Jay Wright going full LaVall Jordan and unnecessarily fouling, costing me like at least 20 minutes of good sleep, because I didn't leave until the final whistle. I basically, unless I have a child-based reason to, I stayed to the final whistle every time. So he cost me some sleep, but I just had a dawning comprehension where I went, this is where we are. We're up 12, and I'm mad the other team's coach is fouling again, you know, and the top 12 team in the country. And I'm like, and I'm upset about this. Like, the switch has flipped. We are like we are fully back. This is not, you know, like you said, we ran the gauntlet. This is not a flash in the pan. This is not like some random dumb luck. This is like fully, you know, and this is a game that's or results that are backed up with the analytics, unlike other teams that will remain nameless. You know, this is good basketball, and it's amazing. And I think we got to talk about where this good basketball is going to take us.
Yeah, we still got one game left in the gauntlet, and then what I call the TCB stretch, where you just got to take care of business. Yep. You got, you know, 6 games down the stretch where Marquette's going to be favored in every one, probably. I mean, they're favored in every one on KenPom. You're playing Butler twice, who's not a good team, a very bad Georgetown team, Creighton, who has not been great, you got DePaul again, and then St. John's at home. Marquette, it upsets happen, so maybe they're not going to win them all, but I think we'd be disappointed with anything less than 5-1 in that stretch. So that's all that is left to do. Yeah, see what happens at UConn. You're playing with house money there Tuesday, and then just take care of business down the stretch. And Marquette is looking at a pretty good seed. Obviously, Alan Bukowski does a great job with bracketology here on Crack Sidewalks. And then, of course, there are many, many bracketologists throughout the internet, and Bracket Matrix is a great resource, which is basically just a summary of all of them. It's 112 brackets across.
Ooh. It's a whole industry.
I can't believe that are that many people that do it, but apparently there are. So if you average them all out, 112 brackets, Marquette appears in all of them, and it averages out to a 6 seed as we're recording this on Sunday evening. So, yeah, and the thing, let's say they do finish the season as we expect, Phil. Like, I don't think they're going to drop much lower. No. So, you know, and if you go out and beat UConn and win out, I mean, dare I say, we could be talking about a 4 seed, a protected. I think Joe Lunardi had Marquette as high as a 4, like his last 4 seed recently. So, I mean, damn. You know, yeah. From, like, you know, we've kind of progressed from hoping they make the NIT to thinking we might be able to get to Dayton to, okay, I think we're probably going to be in maybe, you know, 9, 10, 11 to now, like, we still got some season to go, but we also got to give this team some credit. Like, I try to speak with some humility and not, like, talk about jinxing this team, but I think we also have to give this team credit as to how good they are and what they are truly deserving of. And that's a pretty good seed. Like, right now it's looking maybe in that 5-6 range if you kind of average them all out, which means they should be facing an opponent against whom they should be favored in their first-round game. So, dang. I mean, like, what are you looking at? Like, what do you, I mean, again, we're looking way down the road, but it's going to be here before we know it. Like, what are you kind of hoping for at this point as you kind of peek at the brackets and look at where Marquette may or may not be in play?
Yeah, well, and it's crazy. Like Team Bubble Watch was like a speed bump, right? Like,
right.
Like we spent almost no time in Team Bubble Watch. So like that's just crazy. I mean, so I think it's interesting because if Marquette does, you know, in theory, I'm trying to get Bart Tvorak the T rank stuff where you can project future wins. If we win out, I'm curious where it has us falling. But it, you know, and I don't want to step on my UConn preview, but UConn didn't exactly look great against a shorthanded Villanova, and in fact lost by double digits. So there is a possibility that Marquette wins, you know, their last seven, and you know, and they move up to a four seed, right? Like so, Bart Tvorak, I just projected all seven wins, and has us as the number one four seed. Right behind Illinois, right? Like, so, like, right behind Illinois, which would be really interesting. But I don't know. I'm a little torn on that. Not, you always want to go as high a seed as you possibly can, I'm sure. But if you move into the protected seeds, I think that's difficult for us because that limits where we can go. Right. I'd almost rather be a five or a six, especially because Milwaukee is one of the, you know, is one of the pods, and we can't play there because it's Marquette's home court.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, here are the first round sites. So these are games where NCAA tournament first and second round games will be played. It is Buffalo, Indianapolis, Fort Worth, party at my place if Marquette ends up there, Portland, Oregon, Greenville, South Carolina, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As you just mentioned, Marquette cannot play there because you cannot play first and second round games on your home court. Pittsburgh and San Diego. And so I was in a thread with Alan and I think Patrick Leary from Anonymous Eagle earlier this week, and we were talking about the possibilities, just kind of projecting which one of those places. So there are some places that, let's say Marquette is a protected seed, that they probably would not go just because those places would have teams that they would much more likely to get than Marquette. For example, Fort Worth, Texas, almost certainly going to get Baylor. Mm-hmm. And probably Kansas. If not Kansas, probably Houston if Houston moves up. If Houston is maybe in a 3-4 range. Or Texas Tech. Houston, Texas Tech, and Kansas. Probably three possible options to go to Fort Worth as a protected seed. San Diego almost certainly will have UCLA and Arizona as their favored seeds, right? So the long and the short is the places Marquette is most likely to go just by process of elimination, if it were to be a protected seed: Buffalo, Portland, Oregon, and Pittsburgh. Because those are the places that don't have two really, really obvious draws that,
right,
you know, that you would, among, like, the, say, top 12 to 15 teams in the country, that you would pull, say, okay, well, they're definitely playing there. For example, it makes perfect sense that Gonzaga would go to Portland, Oregon, because that's the furthest northwest city by a country mile. Gonzaga's going to Portland. San Diego obviously is going to have UCLA. So for Marquette, since they can't play in Milwaukee, those are kind of the places where Marquette would end up. So if you are a Marquette fan in either Buffalo, Portland, Oregon, or Pittsburgh, keep your fingers crossed. Your favorite team may be coming to your location. But again, if Marquette were to slip a little bit or just get a bad seed, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you get the committee makes a mistake and you don't, you know, don't want to be on the wrong side of one of those mistakes. You know, I suppose they could go literally anywhere except Milwaukee, right?
Right. Yep. They could. Yeah. They could. Yeah. If they end up a five or a six seed, I think at this point, looking at the record, I think the floor, I mean, obviously somebody can get injured. You can go on a 3 or 4 game losing skid. I mean, it's possible. But from a probability, the way this team is playing and you know, again, the sustainability of it all, I think the floor is a 6 seed, right? I think we're really looking anywhere from 4 to 6 seed, you know, because I think the Big Ten's tough. There's going to be fallout there. The Big East is gonna, you know, UConn has UConn, as the no escalators put, has faced its soft underbelly of a schedule, and its last seven games are the opposite of Marquette, where they're playing Nova and Marquette and, you know, and Providence and those types of teams. So UConn's gonna have some headwinds. Nova's gonna have some headwinds, right? So, you know, I think Marquette is going to end up probably a 4 or a 5 seed based on record and what happens to everyone else. And maybe the Big East tournament has an impact there as well. I mean, I don't know. Maybe with the Big East tournament, Marquette could get as high as a 3 seed, right? If they go yeah, to the championship game.
Yeah,
maybe.
If they win the whole stinking thing, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, teams that get really hot and win their conference tournaments, they tend to get overrated. They tend to, really shoot up there a little bit. So, yeah, I'd say that's the ceiling, is if Marquette wins out and wins the Big East tournament. I can't believe I even just said that. But, yeah, I think that's as high as they could possibly get, is all the way up to a 3. But I agree with you. I think 5-6 kind of feels right. And,
right.
If they finish super strong, maybe they could get into that 4 range. But, you know, I was just looking at bracket matrix and look at some of the other. So, obviously, if you are a 6, you're playing an 11. And if you're a 5, you're playing a 12. So, I was kind of looking at the teams projected in that range. Just a few names to throw out here. According to bracket matrix, teams that are projected as 11, Wake Forest, Oklahoma, North Carolina. What's up, Dawson? Wyoming. 12 seeds, Creighton, San Diego State, Oregon, West Virginia. Hey, Huggy Bear. Could see you again. Could have a revenge game. They wouldn't do that. I think they intentionally avoid that.
Yeah, they would.
Matches in the first round. So Marquette would not play West Virginia. How about two more for a 12 seed? Iona.
Ooh.
Patino. Could Marquette see Patino in a 5-12 game?
Oh, that would, my honestly, God. That would
honestly scare me a little bit.
Yeah, just, for sure.
Just because he's a great tournament. Love him or hate him, and most of us hate him, he's a great tournament coach. So that would make me a little nervous. And then after that, you're getting into some automatic bids: North Texas, Chattanooga, Toledo, so on and so forth. But I think that would, you know, Phil, I think you would agree that no matter what happens within reason from here on out, there's really nothing that could happen that would make me call this season a failure.
Oh, right? Great. I agree.
Right. So, it's kind of all gravy from here. But admitting that it is kind of all gravy from here, I would really love to see this team get a tournament win. It would be awesome for Marquette. It would be awesome for Shaka, because something though they both have in common individually is they both haven't won a tournament game since 2013. Obviously, Marquette, last tournament win was in the 2013 tournament when they defeated Miami to advance to the Elite Eight. We don't need to talk about what happened after that. And the last time Shaka won was also in 2013. VCU was a 5 seed that year. They won their first round game over Akron, and they lost to Michigan in the next round. So Shaka hasn't been out of the first weekend since that Final Four run he had in 2011. He got first-round wins in each of the two following seasons, 2012 and 2013. And then, of course, he did not get out of the first round after that. Two more first-round exits for VCU, and then he never got Texas to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, which is why Texas was kind of willing to let him go. So, yeah, I think for both Shaka individually and for Marquette as a program, getting a tournament win would just feel good.
Right.
If Marquette were to make the tournament and lose in the first round, we'd all be bummed, because you're always bummed when your season ends. Even if you get to the Final Four and lose, you're always bummed when it ends. If Marquette were to lose in the first round, we would have to deal with a little bit of trolling, I'm sure, both on, Marquette still hasn't gotten out of the first round since 2013, and Shaka would have to deal with it too. Oh, Shaka smart, lost in the first round again. There would be some trolling we would have to deal with, but it would still feel like a success to me if Marquette were to get a 5 and lose to Rick Pitino as a 12, right?
Right.
We'd hate it because it's Rick Pitino, but or any 12 seed for that matter. You'd hate to lose, but the season would still feel like a success to me if that were to happen.
Yeah, I think at this point you're right that the season is guaranteed to be a success, right? From where expectations were and what, you know, we keep using the phrase playing with house money. That's almost literally true, right? Now, you would love to get under these circumstances with this team, with the rest of the field. You would think that there is a very real chance that they can get out, you know, at least out of the first round or whatever, the second round, whatever they're calling it, because the stupid rounding numbers with the first four or whatever. But you'd think they could get out of that first game, right? No doubt it could be a challenge. But where I'm torn on is, like, you know, when I look at it, because, you know, and maybe this is overthinking it, right? But I think I want Marquette to end up being a 5 or a 6 seed, because I just think if they end up a 4, you know, to a certain extent, even if they end up as a 3 seed, they are locking into locations that are going to be unadvantageous, right? Like, we've seen this with Marquette, where we played in Greenville against South Carolina. We played, where was it? Was it in Washington? We played against Utah State, right? Like, and I'm looking at Joe Lenardi's bracket, and he has Marquette as a 4 playing in Portland against South Dakota State. Not that we should be terrified about South Dakota State fans traveling to Oregon, but they're a heck of a lot closer to the venue than we are. And then there's a risk, based on Lenardi's projection, Oregon's a potential 12 seed in that Portland bracket against Ohio State. We may very well be playing a road game in the second round, right? So that's where I get a little skittish on the 3-4 seeds with those protected brackets, because we very clearly end up as the odd man out amongst all the 1s and 2 seeds that are going to be, you know, especially with Milwaukee being a venue we can't go to, right? That maybe this is a little different in other years when there's all the venues are open to us, that, you know, if instead of Milwaukee, it was playing in Chicago, right? Like,
right.
If they were playing at the United Center. Okay. Well then, like, clearly let's get a 3 or 4 seed, 'cause that's where we'd get slotted. Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to worry too much about slotting just yet, because there's so much that could happen between now and between now and when the tournament comes out, because there are some teams that are going to get hot, some teams are going to get cold, and some things that are and, you know, there's going to be a lot of movement. So I'm not going to get too, like, concern myself too much with slotting and getting hosed by rough locations. But I see what you're saying, right?
Right.
Like, you might, like, I guess maybe for Marquette fans, if they could go absolutely anywhere among the places that are available, I guess Indianapolis would be the best. So
right.
Maybe if Marquette were to be, say, a, you know, like a 5 or a 6 seed in Indianapolis, where they would be paired up with somebody like, I don't know, Michigan State as the high, or Illinois as the high, well, they wouldn't be Illinois, or as the higher seed. So something like that. I think Marquette fans would probably like to be in Indianapolis. I guess probably would be the next best option for Marquette fans. I guess, is it Pittsburgh after that?
Yeah, it'd probably be Pittsburgh, I would think.
Yeah, so. And for me, selfishly, it's Fort Worth, but.
Well, right. I'll find a plane ticket. I think I have a place to stay.
Yeah, you got a free hotel, buddy.
Yeah.
Not everybody on this podcast does.
Yeah. Well, and I'll bring the defensive player of the year in the church league with me.
Excellent.
You can scream at the team to play better defense.
Yeah, and I'm sure Shaka would say, you're right. They should play better defense. Good call.
Let's do with some more floor slapping. Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, that's the ridiculousness of this season, though, right? Like, we are wildly speculating and talking about, oh, man, I don't want to be a 4 seed because we get screwed or whatever. But that's, like, that is, in a nutshell, how crazy good this season has been. We are.
I know. This is what we're talking about now.
Right. It is February 6th, and we're like, you know, we should probably stop talking about all the winning we're doing and start talking about something a month and a half from now, you know?
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think as recently as, like, a couple weeks ago, I was kind of thinking, you know what? Maybe Marquette could end up in Fort Worth as like either a 7, 8, 9, or 10 paired up with, you know, either like a 1 seed Baylor or a 2 seed Kansas. And if the season ends because we lose to a 1 or 2 seed, oh well, it's okay. I can live with that. But now I've kind of given up all possibility of Marquette coming to Fort Worth, because I'm pretty sure that's going to be a site with like a 1 and a 2 seed with, like, some, you know, Baylor or Kansas. So I've kind of eliminated Fort Worth as a possibility. So and I'm okay with that, because it means Marquette should be in a game where they are more favored than they would be in either a 7-10 game or an 8-9 game. So yeah. And then you avoid those powers. Like that's the best part of getting out of that 7-8-9-10 dynamic, is like your odds of getting to the second weekend are so low, because even if you win your first game, you've got either a 1 or a 2 waiting for you in the next round. And so your odds of getting to the second weekend as a 7, 8, 9, 10 are not great. But if you are 5 or 6, you've probably got a pretty even matchup in that second game. You know, upsets happen, of course, but you know, if you're a 5 playing a 4, I mean, that's probably a pick 'em game. And if you're a 6 playing a 3, you're probably only a slight dog in that game. So just keep moving up. Keep getting more winnable games. And, you know, I've saw one podcast talk about if they had to pick one team from the Big East to get to the Final Four, they pick Marquette. I'm like, Jesus.
No.
Are we that good yet? Like,
no.
But I guess. yeah, maybe.
Yeah. The reason I react so negatively to something like that is, like, is it possible? Sure, Marquette's a good team if they get the right draw and the right circumstances. Could they end up in a Final Four? Man, it would not be insane.
It'd be a little insane, but yeah.
It'd be a little insane. But, like, I struggle with that because then people start to think that's the expectation. Right?
Right,
like, that
yeah,
should
see, that,
not, like, the expectation no. for Marquette. And maybe this is a good question for us to address. All right, if we're resetting expectations right now, what is the expectation for Marquette the rest of the way? Saying regular season, Big East tournament, and March Madness. What are the expectations at those three stops?
That's a very fair question, and I think the team welcomes it too. Like I said, we've kind of been cautiously optimistic, so like let's not jinx them or not put any unfair expectations on them. But again, like, let's also give them some credit for how legitimately good they are.
Right.
And so in that vein, my expectation, I think I'm ready. I would put it at this from my perspective, and I'm curious your response. I would say, like, take care of business down the stretch. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. I'm not necessarily saying win out, but continue to play at this level. So in the final 7 games, get 5 wins or so, maybe 5 or 6 wins. And then from there, you should be in position to win one tournament game. I think that's fair, because I think if they do that, if they take care of business, they'll be like a five or six, maybe as high as a 4. And if you're a 4, 5, or 6, I don't think it's ridiculous to say you should win one game. So that's kind of where I'm putting it.
Yeah, so I think the minimum expectation is go 5-2 down the stretch here. I think you got to win at least one Big East tournament game. I actually would set the expectation, depending on the bracket, right? But I would set the expectation for the Big East tournament. I think they can make the finals. I don't see any reason why they couldn't. You know, I'm not saying they're going to win the whole thing or that we even want them to play that many games, but I think they can make the finals. And then I would set the expectation that I'm with you. They have to win at least one game. Again, if they lose in the opening round, yeah, there's going to be some questions and some trolling and some told you so's and look at, you know, Shaka's record. I get that. But I'm not going to be devastated. I do think making it to the next round after the opening round is the expectation. The expectation should be, with this team, we should win at least one NCAA tournament game.
Yep, I think that's fair. And I think, you know, the team would say...
go ahead.
No, I think the team would say only one. But yeah, I think... I think it's like... fair. They're that good, and they can win a tournament game. So I'm sure they're talking about going even further, winning a Big East. I think it's winning the regular season Big East championship is not off the table. And that,
right.
I think I even heard in one of their behind the scenes thing, Daryl Morsell saying, "We're trying to win a championship this year," and that should be their mindset. They're good enough to at least hope for that. And if they take care of business, if they can win out or maybe go 6-1 down the stretch, they'll need a little help. They need some. Providence to take a few losses there and need Villanova to take one somewhere, but a championship is not off the table for this team, a Big East championship.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, and I think, you know, they could win, you know, whether it's tournament, I you know, Georgetown being the shining example, a regular season tournament champion is much more legitimate. It's not the right word.
Oh, yeah. It's something, yeah, to be more proud of, I think.
Right.
Like, I would cherish a regular season Big East tournament, regular season Big East championship, way more than a Big East tournament championship.
I would 100% hang a banner for that. I would not. Oh, yeah. I would not hang a banner for winning the Big East tournament.
I mean, I you know, I guess you probably would, but I wouldn't just look at it with as fond memories as I would a because if regular season Big East title, you are the best team over the course of 20 games. A Big East tournament title, you got hot for 3 games.
Right.
Or four games. Three or four games. So that's all.
And the one thing back to the tournament, you know, the tournament expectations, the March Madness expectations, like we can say right now we're saying, hey, they should be able to win at least one, but like we'll see what the bracket looks like when we get there, right? Like more than anything else, March Madness is not only skill, but it's also a lot of luck in like who you're playing, right? Like, does a team get hot, that sort of thing. So like the expectations could change and increase as we get closer, depending on what that bracket looks like. We're just saying right now, based on everything we know, winning, you know, being in the better seed and winning your first game of the tournament. Yeah. That should be the expectation.
Yep, I agree. Like you said, you could get there to it, and it's like we could either say, oh, well, they got a great draw, they could win two or three, or we could look and say, oh, man, they got screwed. I hope they could just get one. You
know,
like,
right.
So, well, we'll deal with that when we get there. We still got a few weeks to go. But I thought it would be fun just to talk about the tournament a little bit, because I think there is that much buzz among the fan base. Because I don't think I'm alone in that idea. It's like, I want the tournament to start right now. Like, I am ready to go right now for the NCAA tournament, but we've still got about 5 weeks to go. 5-6 weeks before that happens. But so two games coming up this week, Phil, at Connecticut, which is the last game of the 7-game gauntlet, as we have been calling it for a while now. And then with all due respect to the other teams, the schedule gets a little lighter after that. And the first one with our old friend Laval Jordan and Butler. So, you know, I feel great about this team. I really think there's a good chance Marquette could win both of these games this week. But at Connecticut is going to be a tough one, of course, because Connecticut is a team that probably matches up pretty well with Marquette. I mean, they obviously beat them by 8 at their place the first time. They beat Marquette in Milwaukee by 8 the first time. With Sonogo in the middle, you know, he's going to get more than his fair share of rebounds. He's one of the best in the country. And then they've got a guy in R.J. Cole who can score in bunches, and he's always going to be a problem. So for that, and UConn has other big guys out there who can also clog up the middle and make things difficult for Marquette's bigs trying to get rebounds. So it's a tough matchup and a tough place to win, but I think that Marquette will play well against Connecticut. They've been playing well against everybody, but so I don't think they're going to go there and get blown out. But it'll be a tough one. But I would not be shocked if Marquette went there and won.
Yeah, I mean, UConn's on a bit of a tough stretch here, right? They lost at home to Creighton, and they lost on the road to Villanova. So they've lost two in a row. They played DePaul tight, pulled away and won that game late before the Creighton game. So, you know, I think it's on the table.
Imagine losing to Villanova. I just couldn't.
Oh, man. Wow. What is that like? We don't even know.
couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. Now we're definitely getting cocky. I'm less scared of this game than I was when the gauntlet started, right? Like, I just looking at it kind of from the last time we played, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a tough game. I'm still curious to see who guards RJ Cole. I think Tyler Kolek will guard him some. But that's going to be the interesting matchup, because I think UConn has enough weapons and spacing that they could give Marquette some trouble. And I'm not sure that UConn's going to be bothered at all by Marquette's pressure. So that'll be an interesting challenge. But I also think, you know, UConn is hearing some footsteps, right? Like they're kind of in their own heads a little bit. So I think it's going to be an awfully tight game. I do think Marquette can win this game. There's no reason to think that they're going to lose big, right? I think it's going to be a tight game. Maybe it's a similar to Providence, right? Marquette has the ball with a chance to tie or win and ends up losing or something like that. But I think Marquette can win this.
UConn on KenPom, the 26th ranked offense in the country, 35th ranked defense. So Marquette comes in ranked a little better defensively, but there is a bit of a gap offensively on KenPom. But
I mean, to be fair, we swept the number 4 KenPom offense twice. You know, we swept them. We beat the number 4 KenPom offense. So what's the 26th is nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. Walk in the park, man. Go out and win this game. So I'm with you. Like, I think if you're going to make me predict, I would say they do drop this one just because it's a tough road game. But again, it would not be shocking to me if they won just because they've been playing with such confidence, been playing so well lately. And they've had a week to prepare for it too. So they've had the weekend to get ready and finish this gauntlet strong. And then you got to turn the page, right? And like I was saying, you got to keep the good vibes rolling. You worry, you know, about the that valley after you're coming off a high where you could get upset by a team that you should blow out and then don't. And so that's the only thing that maybe worries me just a little bit going to Hinkle and playing Butler. But looking at all the metrics with Butler, though, that's a team Marquette should blow out. Or maybe not blow out, but just win in very comfortable fashion, right? Because their offense, yuck.
Yeah.
I mean, they cannot score. I mean, you talk about red and green numbers on KenPom. There is just a whole bunch of red on Butler's offense. I mean, I didn't realize they're below 500 on the year. Good. They're 11-12.
Yeah.
4-8 in the Big East. One of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the country. They're not good in the paint. Overall offense, 222nd in the country. Their defense, Butler has at least always been a above average and respectable defensive team. They're not even, I mean, they're okay. They're 87th in the country on KenPom, but
Put it this way: there's nothing they do well.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing you look at this Butler game and say, well, that's going to be a problem, because I think the only problem is Marquette getting in their own heads,
right?
And just coming in too confident, honestly.
Well, and I was gonna say, like, in a weird way, I'm much more worried about the Butler game than the UConn game, partially because if we lose to UConn, okay, so be it, right? Like, you know, but like, I am worried about the trap nature of that Butler game. Now, I have every faith in Shaka and his ability to properly prepare a team and get their heads right going into, you know, hey, we've made it this far, let's not let up and take it easy just because we think it's going to be an easy game, right? There are no easy games in the Big East. But I am more worried about the Butler game than I am the UConn game, because a loss to UConn doesn't really set us back much, right? Like, it's,
right,
you know, KenPom's kind of predicting it, right? Whereas
it's a house money game.
Right. Whereas we lose to Butler, that sets us back, right? Like, that knocks you down a seed line.
Absolutely, it does. Butler is not that far off from Georgetown,
right,
metrics-wise. It's so, like, I wouldn't say I'm as confident in beating Butler as I am beating Georgetown, but it's pretty close, right? I would say I'm more confident beating Butler than I am beating DePaul. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I watched that DePaul Xavier game this weekend, and boy, DePaul has some life. I mean, Xavier might also be the second coming of Wojciechowski, but, you know, whatever.
Right. So I'm that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I agree with it. Like, I'm not worried or upset about whatever may happen at UConn. If you win, great, another bonus, and then we're talking maybe a possibility of moving up a seed line and maybe really zeroing in on possibly getting a protected seed. And then, but if you lose it, it's all right. You just bounce back, take care of business, and just handle Butler, a team that Marquette should beat comfortably, I think. Even in their place.
I agree.
Even in their place. So.
I think you beat Butler. You should beat Butler by double digits. Let's put it that way.
I think so. I mean, you'd be satisfied walking out of there with a 3-point win.
Sure. I'm going to take any final score that has us with more than the other team the rest of the way. Right. Like, I'm not going to quibble over over winning margin, but like Butler should lose by double digits to Marquette.
Yeah, Butler has four Big East wins. They beat DePaul at home, they swept Georgetown, and they beat Creighton at home.
At this point, everyone's going to sweep Georgetown.
That's a topic for maybe next week's pod when we're looking ahead to the Georgetown game, but poor Patrick Ewing, man.
I mean, there's a point where we might get him fired. That might be the game that they're finally like, oh man, you know? But like you said, it's a topic for another time.
Yeah, Georgetown will be a topic on next week's pod because that'll be the next game after Butler. We'll have to come up with a creative name for whatever the opposite of a gauntlet is. And what, like soft underbelly? That's what No Escalators called their previous schedule?
Yes, we've reached the soft. We're just about to the soft underbelly of our schedule.
And hopefully we carve it up real nice and finish the season strong. So, where is Take My Money at? I think we're at 11 hits on the year. So been fun. As the team has won, a lot of these marks we've been setting in this little game we've been playing all year have continued to hit, and the team has won. So I don't know about you. The two I like the most, just because they're the easiest to track and they're also great indications of wins and losses, Phil, are 32 deflections, which we've done that several times. And then the new one we started doing lately is the have more turnovers than offensive rebounds by the other team. I think I might just keep going to those two, just keep going to the well, unless you maybe have something more creative to suggest for me for the UConn and or Butler game.
No, I think for the UConn game, for sure, I like the more turnovers than offensive rebounds for UConn. Like, I just like UConn.
Right. I agree too.
Yeah, UConn could offensive rebound us to death. Now, granted, we had equal numbers of offensive rebounds last game, but you know, I think they could really do a number. So I think that number, that metric is more representative of success or failure for Marquette than the others.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going to go with Connecticut is force more turnovers than offensive rebounds allowed. Keep Connecticut reasonably off the glass. You know, you're not going to shut them out, of course, but just don't let it get ridiculous and just make up for it on turnovers. I think you get it done. And then I'll probably go with 32 deflections against Butler too, because their offense, what does Butler's turnovers look like? I assume they turn the ball over quite a bit. Yeah, it's not great. It's a little ugly. So
yeah. They're bad at it.
Yeah, you can turn them over. So 32 deflections and just freaking win. Just win. And I'm good with that. So that's right. Hopefully we get two hits on Take My Money and hopefully two wins this week. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. I'm just trying to keep with the tempering expectations a little bit. But again, Phil, don't be shy about giving this team credit to how good they are, because they are a worthy top 25 team, and it is okay to talk about winning a tournament game with this team right now.
Yeah,
it's okay to talk about.
I think it's like, you don't want to be a jackass, but like, it's just fine to be like proud and excited about this team, right? Like, they've earned it. Stop kind of, you know, I've talked about it on Twitter. I think everyone needs a Wojo cleanse. I completed mine probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, where I just shed, you know, that worry that, hey, the other shoe's going to drop, or, you know, we're going to regress to the mean somewhere or something like that. I've cleansed myself of those ghosts, and I am now expecting victory nearly every time out. Now, I'm not devastated if they don't win, or I'm not devastated if they lose, but you know, I'm getting to the point where it's like, hey, we're going to win and we're going to see good things happen, and you know, basketball is fun again.
Yeah, I going back to what I was saying earlier, how a tournament win would be nice for both Shaka as a coach and also Marquette as a program. That would be the end of the cleanse, I think, for everybody.
Yes,
Marquette got it. Like, that would feel like a new day. Like, it, like, if you don't think they're back yet, that would be like back, like 100%
right,
all the way back.
And like if Marquette goes on this run, like let's say they go 6-1 here and they get to the Big East final and they win at least one March Madness tournament game. Like, if you are still like, I don't know that we should have fired Wojo. Like you are irredeemable. Like, you're just gone.
Can't help you. Like, there's no helping you if, right. if you still believe that.
You just you just absolutely refuse to be happy. Like, you want to be miserable.
And if you want to be miserable, you just go ahead and be miserable and let us enjoy the greatness that is Shaka Smart as Marquette's head coach, because so far, so awesome. So.
Again, I have to repeat, if people aren't, you know, obviously we want you to listen to this podcast, but if you've got room for another one, listen to the Marquette Basketball Hour. Shaka is a great, you know, regardless of how you think Homer does, Shaka is a great listen. Like, they're just the stuff he talks about, both from a basketball sense and from a real life sense, man, I'm in my basement right now where I have nothing but cinder block walls. I'm considering taking them all down with my body. Like, just listening to Shaka talk is pretty cathartic, and it's great to have, you know, such a thoughtful person in charge, and I'm excited about where this team can go.
Fascinating guy. Marquette is lucky to have him. So things are good. Let's keep the good times rolling, keep the good vibes flowing, and hopefully it turns into good things over the next 6-7 weeks here. So as always, we welcome your feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23 at Crack Sidewalks. It's a team handle. You can go to cracksidewalks.com where we post the podcast and leave your comments on the website. We also have go to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And we also have the Scrambled Eggs Facebook page as well. Phil, have a good week, and try to keep the little guy in line during his next game, huh?
Yeah, I'll see if we can dial it back to a six.
And tell
or
his
five.
Teammates to play some defense. Till next time, everybody. Seashells and balloons.